The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I am Will Brinson. I am your host. It is Thursday, April 2nd. We made it through April Fool's Day, the worst day of the year. I hate April Fool's Day. Doubling down that this is the first time my son has ever figured out April Fool's, and he spent the entire day pranking me. Then I gave him a fake link that said iPads and YouTube are illegal in Raleigh now, according to the governor. And he sort of lost it for a little while, and he had to click on the link, and it says April Fool's. So gotcha, Robbie. But I hope everybody's doing well in the quarantine situation. Stay safe. Be kind to your neighbors, et cetera, et cetera. Make sure to subscribe and rate and review. If you have we're doing a little bit of a different show today. We actually have three interviews for today's show. Let's say hypothetically there's somebody you want us to interview. Leave it in a five-star review, and we will try to make that interview happen. Could be NFL players, could be, media members, whatever it is. You want to talk about a team, a specific team. You want us to talk to somebody about a team. Let us know in a five-star review. You could also ask any question. Leave it for a future mailbag. And might I add that while we're all locked down in quarantine and you're trying to be a good neighbor, what better way to be a good neighbor than to tell your friend, tell your neighbor friend, or just your neighbor or your friend, about this podcast. If you like the podcast and think other people would like it, tell somebody and just tell one person. Say, check out this podcast if you like football. It's a great podcast. And maybe they'll check it out and they'll like it too. Maybe they won't, but, you know, you're at least helping us spread the word. All the people who listen to the show on a regular basis, I consider very good friends. So thank you for listening, and thank you for spreading the word. Let's get to the interviews. First up, we are going to have ESPN's Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback, 12 years in the league, now working on Get Up and a myriad other shows at ESPN, does great work. We talked to him about his recent list that involves Carson Wentz being very high on it. And then after the break, we will talk to two former XFL turned NFL quarterbacks. First up, Jordan Te'amu of the Kansas City Chiefs, and then PJ Walker of the Carolina Panthers. PJ Walker, of course, the would-be MVP of the Houston Roughnecks of the XFL, and Jordan from the St. Louis Battlehawks. So a really interesting conversation about sort of the transition involving going from the XFL, going from, you know, into the XFL, then back out, then into the NFL, and a bunch of other subjects. So stick around for those. First, though, let's go talk to Dan Orlovsky. All right, joining us now, Dan Orlovsky, 12 years as an NFL quarterback, now omnipresent on ESPN at Dan Orlovsky 7 on Twitter. Dan, thank you so much for taking the time. Hope you guys are holding up well. Hold up, as you know. Look, it's it is. At least football is happening right now, right? Like, there's something to talk about from our perspective.
Yeah. Well, it's good to be with you, man. And same to you. And for sure, dude, like, if we didn't have football right now, I certainly would be in a much more, challenged mind headspace. So at least we have that.
Yeah. I think that the first week of being quarantined was a lot easier. I was like, I'm used to this. It's just free agency. And now I'm like seeing my wife and child more often. And, it is more challenging to take care of that time. But I want to start with this because, you know, during the quarantine, you actually, did something cool. You reached out to help the community and made a couple food runs. Can you sort of, I'm curious just what you sort of did to give back. And I think that's fantastic that somebody, in your position is still willing to dive right in and do that, especially knowing, you know, you have multiple kids at the house. So you got plenty on your own plate, much less,
help. Yeah, I appreciate that. No, you know what? When everything started and we had all the experts on television saying this is the best option for us, like, people stay home, especially if you're the more at risk crew, like, stay home and and kids can't go to school, so stay home. And I was thinking, like, man, everyone has to stay home, but there's some people who, you know, like, kids need to eat, right? Like, I can, adults can get not eat breakfast and lunch because they can get hard-headed and fight through it type thing, but no kids should have to deal with this. And so kids need meals. Or an older couple, like, the people who are leading this are telling you, you can't leave your home, but you need food. So how can you listen but also not be famished in a way? So right. I thought, man, the best way to use my platform in that situation was to do that. And I kind of looked at the situation in totality from the beginning as a team thing. And I grew up in team sports, and it was always about we. It was always a we thing. And sometimes my performance mattered more, and sometimes my performance mattered less, and I needed to hand the ball off 100 times, or I had to be the backup, or I had to go play well as a starter. And so I just looked at it as like, that was where my role was going to be at its greatest in what we were dealing with as a group of people. And so I just wanted to kind of be competitive with my mindset and say, I can do this stuff. This is what I can do to help everybody, and our family could do to help everybody. And I'm realistic. I'm 36 years old. If I think that over the next 50 years of my life, hopefully, nothing like this shows its face again, I'm kidding myself. And I'm going to be an older person at some point. And I'm hopeful that there's people out there that will help me if it's needed.
Yeah, we should. Let's take the eye out of quarantine is what we're trying to do, right? You're the opposite of Pete Prisco, who his entire name could be spelled with M E or I. I kid. But let's get into some football. You did a recent top five NFC quarterback list, and if I recall correctly, based on social media, this was not at all inflammatory. You did not receive any replies from We're not attacked in any way by people on Twitter for including Carson Wentz above Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Carson Wentz, Aaron Rodgers. It feels like you are, I don't want to say Carson Wentz Island, because that's, you know, there are a lot of people who like Carson Wentz. I like Carson Wentz, but you have been banging the table for this guy. Do you think we're, you know, going to see a leap in 2020 from him?
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw a leap last year out of him, to be honest with you. And that's kind of the reasoning why I put him in the top five is for a long time, the talent of Carson Wentz, you know, was what we talked about, right? The 2017 season where he's the runaway MVP, and he's having the second best second year quarterback season ever behind Dan Marino, right? And then obviously Patrick Mahomes did it in 2018, but like he's having this runaway MVP season, gets hurt. And then comes back from the ACL and has a solid 2018, like solid. And then last year, this was a maturation of him becoming a quarterback, you know, him becoming a leader. And there's a difference between talent and quarterbacking, or throwing and quarterbacking. The quarterbacking is oftentimes the thing that we can't see and measure. All right, are you willing to play instead of being Superman? Are you willing to be Clark Kent for a couple plays? Can your team need you to overcome three or four guys being out? Are you good enough to kind of overcome lacking the people that you more often than not need around you to play well? And he did that last year. And there's a maturity that comes with that. There's a growth maturity-wise that comes with that. And so, I think that we saw that last year. And yes, I'm a fan of Carson Wentz's his game and whatnot. I think he does so much uncoachable stuff that I marvel at it. Me putting him ahead of Aaron Rodgers, I love Aaron. I don't need to tell people how good Aaron Rodgers has been in his career and still is. But if I'm the guy that sits there and watches all the tape, right? And I was the guy last year that was telling everybody Aaron Rodgers can still play, even though most of the people were saying he stunk. If right. I'm the guy that sits there and watches the tape, I have to go off what the tape says, not what, like, you know, like what my eyes are telling me. And I've always done that, and I'm always going to do that. And that's why I put Wentz ahead of Rodgers.
Okay, just because I'm curious if this lines up with what you're talking about. I think it does. But I have two other examples, and one, you're very close to the situation, so you should be able to confirm it. My theory is that Matthew Stafford experienced the same sort of maturation in terms of quarterbacking when he went from the big volume guy of 2012, 13, and maybe even 14, right? 600 plus passing attempts. And then in 15, 16, 17, he became a much more efficient quarterback. Now, I think it's held up over the course of time, but the Lions just haven't won a lot of games. And I would say the other example would be Cam Newton in 2018 until he hurt his shoulder. He got better in a system as a quarterback. Of course, you know, he played well with, you know, elevated guys around him in 2015, but I felt like both he and Matthew Stafford flew under the radar in terms of guys who became quarterbacks, played well in a system at a certain level, and matured mentally and not physically. Those guys have been mature physically for 20 years, matured mentally. The difference, I think, with Wentz is that he's doing it maybe earlier in his career, and he has that structure mm-hmm. around him with Doug Peterson and all those pieces in place, right?
Yeah, and I was with Matthew when he went through that kind of that 3-year stretch. And I remember, you know, having the conversation with him about that, and his exact words were, I want to make the wow throw all the time because I can.
Right.
And there's not a lot of guys that can say that, right? Wentz is one of those cats. Mahomes is one of those cats. And so I was with Matthew kind of, yes, maturity, breaking away from something that you've had your mind fixated on for such a long time. Like Matthew Stafford has made throws since the age of 7 that no one else could make relative to his age. And so, yes, that's part of that. And now it has not equated to the wins over. But I would argue that he was playing MVP football last year before yeah. he got hurt. And that team, I think, was 2-3-1. And so, yeah. And then Cam very much so in 2018 before the shoulder injury. And so, yeah, I think that we often talk about maturity in football really as like, you know, not being an idiot off the field. But we very rarely talk about maturity just as far as the development of playing your position and executing your position. And so, I think that Aaron is still playing great football and still dangerous, but we are just starting to see who I think is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL over the next decade.
Mm, interesting. Where would Dak Prescott slot on this list? Is he like creeping up to 5?
Yeah, Dak is certainly, you know, in that next, you know, probably the 6, 7, 8, 9, depending on who your play caller is and who talent-wise who's around you. You know, it's Dak, it's Matt Ryan, it's obviously Matthew Stafford, it's Kirk Cousins, like all those guys. Here's my thing with Dak. It's funny because, you know, I did some stuff with Dak and Carson this week, and I've been outspoken about those two guys, and I had a friend text me on Monday, why do you hate Dak? This is a friend of mine. And I said, dude, I don't hate Dak. I think Dak is a good player. But does Dak do anything that I can't coach? Like, does he have instincts or reactionary football or a physical talent that I just can't coach into a guy? And I would argue that he does not, that he could still be a good player. I would argue that Dak's 2016 season, which was by far his best season. It was better than this season that he just had, by the way. He had one of the greatest offensive lines in the history of the NFL. History of the NFL. He was playing with a running back that's on Hall of Fame trajectory per his performance and one of the best receivers in the history of the Cowboys organization, which is a rich organization at that position. And so I see Dak as a good player that if he's down Ezekiel Elliott or if he's down Frederick or down Tyron Smith or down Amari Cooper, he has not proven – I got you guys. Hop on my back. I'm good enough to carry our football team. He has not done that. And until he does that, it's hard for me to sit there and say, bona fide, top, pay him the most amount of money in the NFL and top 2, 3, 4 guy at the position.
So you want to see him throw some touchdowns to Greg Ward Jr. is what you're saying.
I want to see some touchdowns to Greg Ward Jr. I want to see him win a game when his receivers had less than 75 yards receiving, which, by the way, Wentz did 6 times last year, 6 wins in which receivers had less than 75 yards. Like, that is insanity. And I always go back to this. In the middle of 2018, middle of October of 2018, everybody was saying, what's wrong with Dak Prescott? And all of a sudden, they traded for Amari, and it becomes a vastly different player. Now, that's the case for a lot of guys, but it's hard for me to run from that truth.
Yeah, and I mean, too, like, I like Dak a lot, too. But I do think, too, like, if we've seen times when Tyron Smith is pulled out of that offensive line and, like, all of a sudden Adrian Claiborne's putting Dak on his rear end six times in a single game. I'll get you out of here on this because I thought it was fascinating. You have helped Mike Greenberg turn his show Get Up. I like to say it with the exclamation point on there. You've helped to turn Get Up into a program that's ascending on the ESPN platform. It's a fun show to watch in the mornings. And you guys made some headlines when Sean Payton was on. And did he slip up and reveal that it might be Drew Brees' final season?
Yeah, you know, well, first of all, thank you for those kind words. It's a joy to be on that show. I don't think that's surprising. You know, I mean, I think that Drew honestly contemplated retirement this year. And I know that he is trending towards a career in television afterwards. And I think that Sean, probably knows as well as anybody, his words are going to be very much so, paid attention to. And so I don't think it's surprising that he said that. I think that that's Sean's plan. I think that's the organization's plan and Drew's plan, that this is probably his last season. Or, you know, I think they believe it is his last season. And they're making very calculated steps to make it as great as possible, but also prepare for their future. I have a sneaky feeling that they somehow will find a way to draft Jake Fromm.
Ooh, that's an interesting Brees comp, too, because I don't think he has – like, Brees is one of those weird guys because he had arm strength coming out of Purdue, but like Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, I mean, he built it into NFL caliber arm strength as he sort of, you know what I'm saying? Like, he grew, you knew he could make the throws. Yeah. He got stronger as he got on. Fromm's knock would be the arm strength, but he has like a little Brees / Colt McCoy to him. That's an interesting one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, like, if I had to kind of paraphrase Drew Brees on the field, not paraphrase, but encapsulate him on the field in a brief 8-word synopsis, it would be he's the best connect the dot quarterback of his generation, meaning he knows how quickly, okay, if that dot there, then that dot has to go there, then that dot has to go there, there's the weakness, right? And he can do it at such an efficient and just almost maniacal pace. And that's Jake Fromm. Like, you watch Jake Fromm's tape and it's just bop, 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 connect the dot, and how they're all kind of tied together. And that's kind of, I can see a very much seamless transition thing.
That is fascinating. It is cool how Drew Brees got matched up with a play caller like Sean Payton, who is a connect the dot play caller. And that's sometimes what this is all about in the NFL, is finding your way as a quarterback to the right play caller. That's what it's about in life too. You got to find your way to your right play caller. Sounds like your play caller is calling you. So we will, we'll let you get out of here. I had my play callers yelling at me to come down too. Dan Orlovsky at Dan Orlovsky 7 on Twitter. Watch him on Get Up, as well as other ESPN platforms. You're doing a great, great work, man. And I appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate it, bud. Be good.
The all new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating, so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now joining the program, Jordan Ta'amu, former St. Louis Battlehawks XFL quarterback signed by the Kansas City Chiefs. Hey, first of all, buddy, congratulations on, I know the XFL got cut short because of national crisis situations, but you know, I mean, and that's not good for anybody. We wanted it to keep going. I was enjoying it. But your play in that league landed you a job in the NFL. So that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I'm just grateful with another opportunity to go out there and showcase myself, and really grateful for the XFL and everything they believed in. And it's been a good ride. So I'm excited to be with the Chiefs.
Pretty good team. They had a decent season last year. I don't know that you are going to be named the starter this offseason, though. Do you have any inclination on that?
Yeah, no, for sure. No, my job is just to really watch and learn behind Patrick Mahomes. He's a great quarterback overall. Kind of looked up to him and liked the way he played his game, and I'm just excited to learn under Andy Reid and that offense. So
yeah, so sort of walk us through how the deal happened, and because I mean I'm sure that this stuff was sort of flying kind of fast and crazy. I mean, the XFL was one of the later leagues to cancel, but it did feel as if, you know, there was just no way anybody could go forward with the sporting events that they had planned. And then walk us through that crazy process in your life.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was a Thursday. Thursday afternoon, we're in the locker room. We're just hearing teams. We're just hearing leagues get shut down, canceled, and we're over there like, do we still practice or what? And so our coach came out and said, hey, we're still practicing. They haven't said anything to us. So we went out there like a regular Thursday preparing for Saturday and did our practice, came back in the locker room, still haven't heard anything. And we thought we were just going to play in front of no fans. And our travel day was the next day. And they're like, if we travel to Florida, we're playing. And then later that night, we got an email from the XFL saying they're going to shut it down for this year because of the coronavirus. And then we had a team meeting the next morning, and then after that team meeting my agent called, talked with the coaches on the staff, and they're like saying you could get an opportunity here with some teams. Some teams been calling and asking about you already, so I know your agent's dealing with a bunch of that and setting up the right team for you. And that's what my agent's been doing ever since that league dropped. And So the Chiefs, he kind of called me and said, hey, the Chiefs are pretty interested and looking hard. We're just waiting for more deals or offers. We'll see what's going to happen. And then that Monday when they released, the XFL players can sign with the NFL players or with the NFL team, then that's when my agent called and said, hey, I think the Chiefs would be the best fit for you and best opportunity for someone to stick. So, I said, yeah, let's go ahead and do it. So I signed with
the Chiefs. This will sound weird and maybe even dumb, but I would argue that the playing for the Kansas City Chiefs with Andy Reid as the head coach as a backup or like anywhere on the depth chart behind Patrick Mahomes is almost like a better opportunity for long-term growth. Cause you're just 22 years old. Like you're not like 29 or anything. Then even being like a starter for the Dolphins next year. Does that make sense in a weird way?
Yeah, that means that's exactly what I needed, was just a great quarterback coach and an opportunity. Since like you said, I was young and just gotta needed more experience, and that's what the XFL gave me. And hopefully, just sitting behind Patrick Mahomes and learning from that offense will help me get better throughout the years. So definitely.
Hey, I'm curious. What was the you went to the high school in Hawaii, and then eventually after a transfer, you went to college at Ole Miss. Those are two slightly different places. How was that? What was the juxtaposition of living in Hawaii for a long time and then being down at the Grove, which, while very different, is also a very fun place?
It was it's super different. You know, the weather, the food. What definitely stood out was the people. You know, just I kind of felt like that Aloha spirit as soon as I stepped on campus and everybody was showing love. So that definitely had the same vibe as Hawaii. But, you know, Hawaii's always home. It's always a place to go to. It's always 85 degrees. So I'm always back there in the winter while everyone's freezing. So it's not a bad spot.
I didn't even realize it, but you and in 2018, you and Tua were the top SEC passers, right? So it was like a full full Hawaiian coverage there down the SEC. That's pretty fascinating to see. Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, are you tight with all the guys who come from the islands like that? Or is, I always get the sense that there is a brotherhood there, right?
Yeah, just some of the guys, you know. We it's a small island, so we all kind of know the big names and the big people. So we I know me, Mackenzie, Milton from UCF.
Yeah.
And then Tua Tagovailoa, we kind of like grew up watching each other like in high school and now especially in college. So we've been keeping tabs and keeping in touch with each other and working out whenever we get home. So,
Have you got any insight into whether, like, I feel like Tua looks like he's healthy. I don't know if you talked to him about it or not, but like we watched his videos. Yeah. Feels like he's going to be good to go for the draft, but that's just my crazy opinion.
I think he is too. You know, I saw the videos too, like you said, and he's looking sharp and I think he's going to be ready.
I like it. So you had AJ Brown and DK Metcalf at the same time. That's not bad.
Not a bad spot. You know, I had good receivers, a good tight end. So I had weapons all around me and my job was to get them the ball and really
was Evan Engram there too?
He was there after. Before.
That's right. What was the craziest place you ever played at, when you were in the SEC? Like in terms of just, you know, you walk in and you're like, yeah. Whoa, this is wild.
I'll say, LSU game, 8 o'clock in Death Valley, what they call it. So I'm just like, dude, this is kind of, the seats are right there in front of you. So it's kind of like super loud, from the jump, but I think that was the most loudest stadium I've been in.
I think those guys, they might drink a couple of beers or, you know, little brown liquor before they go to those too. Not sure.
Yeah. Exactly.
the XFL experience, it feels like I got into it. I don't know, man. And it felt like the fans and there was a real, not just in person, but, also online. It did feel like there was this very, pretty surprising surge of interest in the XFL. Did you guys feel that internally as well as you were playing these games?
Yeah, dude, it honestly felt awesome, you know, just from the jump, from the first game. Or, like, we were all questionable, like, seeing, like, how it's going to happen, like, when we start playing. And when we started playing, the fans were behind us and everything was going well with the TV settings and stuff and like that. But it was honestly exciting and fun to play. So our fans definitely gave us something to play for, and it was just great to play football again. So
it felt like your combination too of being a very very capable passer, but your ability to use your legs too. Do you think the NFL is just? I go back and forth on this whether it's an influx of young quarterbacks who are just inherently more mobile, or whether the NFL is truly migrating to a league where you do need to use your legs more often than you might have in the past. Do you think this is a full-blown change in the NFL and maybe across all professional football?
Yeah, I think it's just changing over time. You know, more teams want a quarterback that's mobile. More teams want a quarterback that can run and throw just to give another threat to the offense. And I think I have all the tools of that, and I've been doing that my whole life, you know, since from high school to junior college to Ole Miss and XFL. So excited to use my legs again and use it if I have to.
What are you doing amidst this? The Corona thing is going on and around us everywhere. But you've got a kind of plan to stay in shape and to get ready for football. What are you doing? Like, what's your workout regimen look like? Are you ripping pull ups on the door? Or like, what's going on?
So one of my buddies here, he has an indoor gym in his garage. So we kind of do a little workout there. And then whenever I need to throw, I just take like two guys with me to the field and then kind of just get that out of the way. So I kind of throw 2-3 times a week and work out 4 times. So I was just trying to get a little something each week and something different every day.
It's really tough. This is going to be a very bizarre off season because the Panthers signed PJ Walker. You know, you've been signed by the Chiefs. There's going to be a bunch of rookies who are drafted in less than a month, and there's a decent chance, and we don't know how it's going to play out, but there's a decent chance that, you know, we're going to see limited offseason OTAs. And if that's the case, it's going to be hard to pick up a new system. How are you Are you like watching old Chiefs games on Game Pass? Are you playing Madden? Are you like, I mean, like secretly FaceTiming Andy Reid? Like, is there any way you do that, or just working on basic throwing anyway?
I'm just working on basic throwing, kind of, you know, Madden here and there, kind of play with them to see what the little playbooks are all about. But, kind of just as soon as I get there, you know, just kind of just get on the grind from day one and never get my head out of that book. So, that's kind of my mindset going into it. Is really be ready.
What non football related things you've been doing to keep busy during the old lockdown?
Board games are pretty fun now. Uno, you know, kind of competitive now. What else we got? We play spades, video games, watch Netflix shows. Just finished Tiger King the other night, so.
I just watched it. I mean, I don't know if there are any spoilers in it. I just watched the third episode, one where, like, they're basically setting Carol up as a murderer.
Exactly.
It's insane,
with
man.
The husband and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy just disappears and.
Yeah. Got you.
What else you been checking out on Netflix?
What else is on Netflix? All American, dude, top show for real.
I haven't seen it. Right.
You haven't seen it?
All American.
Yeah.
No, what is it?
Oh yeah, it's like a football star, like he's in Crenshaw and then he goes to Beverly. It's pretty unique. It's cool.
All right, I'll check that out. What video games are you jamming on? Madden.
I play like UFC. Love knocking people out.
I've seen that game, but I've never played it. Is it
it's
worth?
Awesome.
Okay, all right.
It's fun. I like it, especially playing against someone. So I kind of play that or Madden or baseball. So whichever one.
Okay.
We're in before.
Did you play baseball as a?
Yeah, I played baseball my whole life, all the way till my senior year.
Of high school or college?
High school.
Okay. Yeah. Now see, that's really interesting to me, and I don't know if you like. I mean, obviously Patrick Mahomes, you know, his dad's a great baseball player. I think that there is, like, there's a good chance my son, who's six, will not be athletic because you know he's me and my wife's son. But if he was really athletic. And he wanted to play football. I would tell him that he needs to go and be and spend a lot of time playing baseball. Cause I think if you look at, Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, you can see when these guys scramble and run and they keep their throwing platform, it's always balanced and it looks like a shortstop or a second baseman on the move.
Yeah. That's facts. Honestly, just the arm slot.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so like, would you, if you were telling kids who wanted to be a quarterback, that they should also try and be multi-sport people?
I think so because, you know, quarterbacks out there should be the most athletic person out there. And, you know, it's always been like that growing up. So yeah, for sure. I think baseball helped a lot.
All right. If I talk to Andy Reid, if the owners meetings ever happen, and I'm going to ask Andy Reid about this baseball connection because he was linked to Russell Wilson when he was with the Eagles.
Yeah.
I don't think Nick Foles played baseball. Did Vic play? Anyway, but like,
I wonder
if he's onto this baseball training thing too. I think he might be. So I'm gonna dig it.
Not a lot of people know I played, but
yeah,
I in the small island. So, yeah.
Did you? What position did you play?
I played pitcher, right field, and shortstop. So
right,
I was
see,
like switching around. Yeah,
there's something to this. See, now it's different with like, and then Jameis Winston, also a pitcher and an outfielder, but less.
Yep.
Less of the platform stuff with him sometimes. All right, Jordan. I really appreciate you taking the time. I'm excited to see you on the Chiefs. I think it's gonna be fun. I think you've got a bright future in the NFL. And I'm sorry we didn't get to see the rest of the XFL season, but good chatting to you and enjoy your offseason, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right, joining us now, PJ Walker, new quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. And former XFL star. How's that sound, by the way?
Oh, that sounds great. You know, just to be, I'm excited for the opportunity, you know, moving forward with the Carolina Panthers and had a great opportunity with the XFL. You know, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, look, I thought I was into the XFL. I was doing like XFL DFS and watching the games. And obviously, you know, you stood out. What was it? Did you think it's something that, you know, the AAF, when it came out, didn't exactly work so well. It felt like the XFL had sustaining power. Would you agree?
Yeah, I thought the XFL had an opportunity, you know, to continue to build, continue to grow as a new league and continue to show everybody what it was capable of.
What was the biggest difference for you as a player, somebody who was with the Colts back in 2017, and then with the XFL this past year, now back in the NFL, what was the biggest difference or adjustment from the NFL to the XFL?
Just picking up on things a lot faster, you know, adjusting to a whole team as quick as we did. And, you know, the practice times is different. And it was just different. It was different. Definitely being in the XFL, you know, we did a lot of things different due to the way the league was ran. And it was fun, though. It was definitely fun. We settled the practice and things like that, which was awesome. As a team, and we stayed in a hotel, which was I thought it all was great. So I thought it was all great.
Are you going to be declaring yourselves the XFL champions?
Until the XFL give us the championship, then we'll declare ourselves. but I haven't did it yet.
No, well, you mean, because you know it's crazy, because in some of these sports, like Kansas wants to be. Like they're saying, yeah, well, you know, if you want to name us the national basketball champion, it's like, no, it's going to be a tournament. Like FSU.
Yeah, it got to be a tournament.
Yeah, FSU was named the ACC basketball champions. Like, we play the tournament. What are we doing here? And so, yeah. But if I were y'all, I'd be like, look, we are the XFL champion, the 2020 XFL champions. Have you been to Carolina much at all, or will this be a first swing through?
No, I've been there, you know, for the past couple of years, and me and my girlfriend, we've been living there in the off season, and
oh really?
Because she's a teacher there, and everything. So, just looking forward to the opportunity to stick around here a little more.
So you guys have been in Charlotte for a while, or somewhere else in Carolina? I live in Raleigh, that's why I'm asking.
We've been in Charlotte.
Oh, cool. So she works for like Mecklenburg County. That's, whew. All right. Well, so you're familiar with the area then. I mean, that makes it. So this is really like a comfort move for you then, because not only do you have the location that you're familiar with, but obviously you've got a coach that you know really well from Temple. What is Matt Rhule going to explain to Panthers fans how Matt Rhule will manage to what he emphasizes in order to build a program when he starts to do that? Cause he's done it at Temple. He redid it at Baylor. That's sort of his thing, yeah. Is building a program. Explain to him what the tenets of like his philosophy are.
Yeah. It's all about the process with him, you know, and, he's very strong on trusting the process and keeping your head down and working. You know, he's a guy who wants to work. He's a guy who's gonna get the best out of every player that he brings in, and I'm looking forward to definitely see how he translates to the NFL. You know, with the big transition and everything, I'm looking forward to. I think he'll do awesome as well.
Yeah, and it feels like he's also interested in bringing in not you know comfort players, but like guys he does know, like Robbie Anderson. You know, you came in, you know, Temple guys that he understands, you know, Teddy Bridgewater played for Joe Brady at New Orleans. You think there's a trust factor there that's really important to him to know that he can put leaders in the locker room?
Absolutely. You know, it's a big trust thing. Yeah, man, he know what a lot of guys are capable of, and he know a lot of guys' personalities, you know, so that's the best part about it.
And Andrew Luck, of course, was, you know, a little crossover there as well. Is it true that he gave – a heavy recommendation for you across multiple platforms?
Me and him discussed a lot of things and talked about probably the XFL a few times. And, you know, I believe he went to his dad and, you know, just believed in me and knew that he knew that I could play and knew what I was capable of. And he told us that.
Yeah. And it worked out really well. Can you talk Matt Rhule into bringing Cam Phillips to the Carolina Panthers?
I can try. You know, I can definitely try. I can definitely try that. And you know, but it's a process. I would prefer Cam to go where he's most comfortable and most you know, most needed, you know, and the best situation for him as well. You know?
You realize that like you and Cam could say that you're the most like you are the Joe Montana, Jerry Rice of the XFL, like the greatest quarterback wide receiver duo in XFL history. You could go around saying that all summer long.
It was fun. You know, playing with Cam was awesome, man. He's definitely a guy that can definitely ball out. He's a guy who's going to make plays. He's a guy who's going to be open most of the time. And, you know, you're getting a great personality guy as well, a lot of Cam.
What does Robbie Anderson bring to the Carolina Panthers? I think people look at him as like maybe more of a speed guy. You guys had his final year at Temple, a crazy connection. Cam Phillips, like 70 catches, 939 yards, 7 touchdowns. Woo, Temple football, man. What can you tell everybody about Robbie Anderson and what he brings to a team in terms of not just mental but a physical approach and how he runs his routes, et cetera?
Yeah, mentally, I think Robbie's he's a winner. You know, he just wants to go out there and win. He competes his butt off at a high level. You know, he plays with a lot of dog in him, and that's why something you want in your receivers. And we know physically Robbie is as fast as the most of them in the NFL. And you know, I think his ball skills is what separates him from a lot of guys. He got the ability to make plays on the football when he's in the air. You know, that's what he does really well.
What so I got some not quarantine questions, but like life, football life, when you can't really live your life like you normally would. Yeah. What's your routine look like from a workout perspective? You just working out at home, and then from like
I'm just working out.
Okay, yeah, like just like working out, like if you have a home gym, are you just like ripping off push-ups on the door? We have a 6-year-old. He's down there doing Go Noodle, and that's basically my exercise when it rains.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of cardio, doing a lot of field work as much as I can, as much as possible. And now for my work, for my weights and everything, I'm just going to my apartment gym and going there as much as I can.
Nice. What about from a football perspective? Because I think that's probably the toughest thing for guys going to new teams. And I mean, you're switching leagues, so that's even tougher. Are you able to, like, when do you expect to have your hands on a playbook? And if you do get your hands on a playbook, can you FaceTime with coaches? Like, what sort of things does modern technology allow you to do within the context of the NFL rules to actually get acclimated to being a Carolina Panther?
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to getting to work with the coaches and you know my teammates and everything. You know, we hopefully should be doing a lot of FaceTime and going over the playbook that way. I think that's going to be the way we're going to get into it. over group FaceTime calls.
Nice. What have you been binging on TV wise? While you've been stuck?
Oh man. I've been watching Money. I watched Money Heist not too long ago.
Money Heist?
Money Heist.
What's that?
It's about a group of people who goes into a few banks and things like that and rob the bank and also rob a couple gold places. It's a great place. It's a great show.
So check that out.
Great show on Netflix. Definitely should check that out. And I just started Ozark about 2 days ago.
Season 3 there. Or did you start the first season?
I'm on season 2 now.
Oh yeah, it's good, man. I just started I stayed up to like 1 a.m. last night like a dummy because I started episode 1. My wife came down, she made me pause it. She wanted to watch some Tiger King. And then like once she got done with the Tiger King, I went back and watched another Tiger King as well. You watch that?
Yeah, a little Tiger King as well.
Yeah, it's just full of villains. Like both those shows are full of villains. There's no good guys in
the Absolutely. Show.
Absolutely. All right. Awesome stuff, PJ Walker. Appreciate it, man. Looking forward to seeing you with the Carolina Panthers, and thanks for joining the show. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.